on, and you did see Oreos already, so that's giving you a little clue of what's to come. But today we're going to have a little fun. So what do a waterfall, a willow tree, a cactus, a stack of Oreos, and an empty glass have to do with giving a message? Well, we're going to find out right now. Today's message is titled Overflow. This word has surfaced a lot in the last several months. I heard an awesome song called Overflow, and it just kept coming up in my journal entries, and we're going to get to sing the song Overflow when we get to communion. So you're probably going to hear the word overflow a lot in this message. So if you're counting, I've already said it three times. So we want to think of that word overflow this entire time, and you're going to go home singing overflow. All right. In order for something to overflow, that's four, it first has to be filled up, right? First, you've got to fill it up. To be filled up, it needs a source. And then to obtain a continuous flow, it needs to continue to draw from that source more than it can contain on a continual basis. Think about, for a moment, Niagara Falls. How many of you have ever visited Niagara Falls? All right. Well, I'm going to give you a little clue here. The waterfall represents a life sourced by Jesus. That waterfall is going to represent that life sourced by Jesus. That's the kind of life that God intended for us to live. But for Niagara Falls is actually sourced by four of the Great Lakes, and then those are sourced by the ocean in some way, right? So we know that Niagara Falls runs from a constant, continual, trusted source. Pretty good idea that the ocean's going to always have water in it, right? So if Jan and Brian decided they were going to go to Niagara Falls in 2 years, you're not worried that it might dry up, right? We better go quick. What if it dries up? What if it's not flowing anymore? You don't think of that. You know it's going to be continually running because there is a continuous flow from a consistent, trusted source. Now, water is the most basic of human needs. We've learned that from little on up. We need water not only to survive, but to even exist. And our bodies are made up of about 60% water. So if you've ever lost some weight and you said, oh, it was water weight, it's because our bodies are made up of a lot of water. We process and need water. And did you ever feel kind of sick when you didn't drink enough water? You know, you start getting that headache, you start not feeling too well. I didn't have enough water today. Did you ever feel like you've eaten too much junk food, like maybe a whole big bag of Doritos, and then you're like, ooh, I'm going to wash it down with some water. I'll feel better if I just wash it down with some water, right? Makes you feel better. Water cleanses the body, it helps with digestion, and it makes everything function. So water is the basic key ingredient, essential to the function of the human body, just as Jesus is the basic key ingredient to the function of our spirits, to have a healthy spirit and an abundant life. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, I came to give you life abundant. Let's read, this is our main scripture for today's message, Psalm 1:1-3. We're going to see it several times throughout the message. Let's read it together. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. I just love that passage of scripture. Now we see where the willow tree comes in, right? That tree firmly planted by streams of water. Can you picture a willow tree? I know you've all seen huge ones. They get really huge, right? Now that willow tree, it says, will grow about 12 to 15 inches a year. So you plant that for many, many years. You know, you have a 100-year-old willow tree. You've got a big tree. And I don't know about you, but every time I see a willow tree, I just want to sit under it. I just want to hang out by it, have a picnic near it, right? Willow trees are usually very beautiful, very sturdy, very lush. They love what? Water. They love water. And they probably hog up most of the water that's in their area. So every time you see a willow tree, for the most part, you see it planted near a pond, near a stream, near a lake. But being near a healthy tree is a very relaxing and cool place to be. It's very refreshing. Now, there's a willow tree, okay? A cactus, on the other hand, I love this picture because doesn't it look like the bird's going, ow, 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 somebody help me, right? That hurts, right? A cactus, now here I have a cactus. This is from Trina, thank you. Now this cactus is small, okay, you've seen bigger, but this cactus, its roots are about this deep. A tree like this, when it roots, as much as is on top of the ground, that's how much is under the ground. It's very deeply rooted. It draws nourishment from the ground. A cactus doesn't need a whole lot of water to survive. Right? And even when Cassie and Matt were transporting it in the car, they were like, okay, make sure it doesn't fall over because it's only got those little roots. A cactus is very dry and prickly. How many of you would really want to sit under a cactus tree? Probably not, right? Let's have a picnic over here. So cacti, plural, right, are very dry and prickly, not very fun to be around, not so refreshing to hang out with a cactus, right? This is my angry cactus picture. And I think this is what happens with us when we don't get enough of the essential nutrient that is Jesus. When we don't spend enough time in God's word, prayer, and conversation with him, we will become dry and prickly, quick to anger, quick to be moody, easily offended, cranky, critical, and not very much fun to be around. A willow tree, as in Psalm 1, it tells us when we meditate on the law of the Lord, on God's law, and spend time drawing nourishment from Jesus, that we will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Our leaves will never dry, and whatever we do will prosper. Why? Because Jesus is the constant, trusted source that never runs dry. He never gives up on us. Now, spending time with Jesus is so essential to our health spiritually. If we don't have personal time with God, and you guys hear me talk about this in every message because I'm very passionate about this because I see the value of spending time with Jesus daily, drawing nourishment from him, not just, you know, a quick 2 minutes a day, a quick prayer, but just kind of being in tune with Jesus all day, just like a willow tree doesn't say, oh, I'm just going to quick take a drink in the morning and then I'll drink tomorrow. It's constantly letting that water filter into its roots and go up into its leaves so that it just constantly has that flow of water. When we spend time with Jesus, he challenges us. He will check our motives. He'll check our attitudes. He'll check our intentions. And, you know, he'll challenge us to be better and to be more like him. So sometimes spending time with Jesus is not so fun. It's fun, but then you're like, oh, he's working on me, you know. But when you know God's working on you, then you know that he loves you and he wants you to grow. He wants you to be healthy. So spending time with Jesus will build a compassion and love in us for others that we could never obtain by our own human means. So Jesus poured into us will overflow from us and produce fruit. That is evidence that we spend time with him. Fruit is evidence. Now, I did give you all an outline for today. You can take notes on it. You can look at it. I do have some of my points on there, a couple of questions. If you need an outline, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will bring an outline to you. Okay, I see a couple in the balcony that need outlines. If you need an outline, just raise your hand. The usher will bring one to you. You don't have to have one, but some people like to have them to take home with them or to look at. Jesus poured into us will overflow from us and produce fruit. Fruit is evidence that we have spent time with God. Okay, did you ever see a tree that has very, like, yucky looking fruit? And you're like, oh, I don't want to touch that. You know, I wouldn't want to eat that. But you see a tree that's very healthy? That is evidence that that tree has gotten the right nutrients at the right time and continued to draw nutrients from the soil, from water. So our fruit is kind of what comes out, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But spending time with God is so important. When we spend time with Jesus, people will want to spend time with us. They'll feel encouraged and comfortable, yet they'll feel challenged to be more like Jesus. So which do we want to be like? Do we want to be like a willow tree, or do we want to be like a cactus? Okay, let's read that passage again from Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. As individuals, we will be no more effective and fruitful than the source from which we draw nourishment. Think about that. We will be no more effective and fruitful than the source from which we draw nourishment. If we want to have a fulfilling, prosperous life, We have to go to the source that is Jesus. There is no equal substitute for Jesus. The goal is to overflow. The goal is to fill up so much with Jesus that we can't help but overflow with him onto others. It will pour out from us. You cannot pour from an empty vessel. You know, the dry water. You can't pour from a pitcher that's empty, right? Did you ever feel like there's no way I can even just say one more nice word? There's no way I can do one more thing because I'm just dry and empty. Cannot pour from an empty vessel. And we cannot expect to get fresh water out of a stagnant pool. You know, Cliff and I have a fountain on our back porch, and we let it run continually all year. We don't turn it off at night too much because one time we did that, and basically what we ended up growing was moss and some mosquitoes. We were breeding mosquitoes on our back porch, so we decided to not do that. But when you let the water flow and flow, it doesn't do that. It keeps going. It doesn't become stagnant. Whatever we fill ourselves up with is what will come out. Whatever we eat, whatever we process into our spirits is what's going to come out of our mouths. So right now, think about your own life. What or who has become your source of joy, energy, self-worth, and fulfillment? What has become your source? Think about your own life right now. What fills your heart? What things are you thinking about all the time? What words come out of your mouth? What actions or attitudes are you portraying? The Bible warns us that what is in our hearts will come out of our mouths. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Now, our minds, which is like our souls, like our wills, and our hearts — when I say heart, I mean our spirits, like who we are, not our pumping heart, but our spirit — are not the same thing. You can think something and say, "I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to put that down. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let go." But if you keep thinking about it, it starts to ooze down into your spirit. And then your spirit, your heart, starts thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And then pretty soon you become bitter and you become that stagnant pool and nothing good can overflow because you're stuck in that moment of time. I believe that there are six basic sources from which we can draw nourishment, okay? Let's read these together. Self, others, material things, habits, religion, and Jesus. You know where this is going, don't you? You guys are smart. Let's talk about self first. When we become our source, when we become our own source, we will grow stale, like that stagnant pool, because all we'll overflow with are our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own philosophies. We'll talk about ourselves all the time, the same things over and over, mostly about ourselves. And some of us end up basing our sense of self-worth and self-value on our talents and ideas, like our own talents. With self, satisfaction comes from telling other people what we think they should do or what we would do. You know, like, "If I was in charge, I would," or, "Well, I think that you should." You know, but people are not like us. Helping others come to a good decision, that's a good thing. But trying to force our own convictions and our own thoughts on someone else is being sourced by self, rather than praying for them and saying, "Let's see what God wants you to do." Okay, so that's selfishness. You guys remember the me monster? Cliff and I played that video a couple times, the me monster. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. I. When we are our own source, it will become all about puffing up ourselves to make ourselves feel better. And then even sometimes putting other people down to make ourselves look better. So when we fill up with ourselves, when we're full of ourselves, we will be perceived by others that we don't really care about them. And in reality, we don't. The harsh reality of it is that if we're always talking about ourselves and only thinking about ourselves, we don't care about other people. We have not made that a true part of our lives. When we want it our way or we want the credit, we are not going to be very fun to be around. The Apostle Paul told the Philippians to not just think about their own interests, but to also look out for the interests of others. A selfish person is always thinking about himself or herself, and that does not produce good fruit. In fact, I think left unchecked, someone who is self-sourced will end up very bitter. They'll end up resenting things. They'll end up quitting things that they really like because they're frustrated with people. They'll talk poorly about other people all the time. They'll see the worst in other people. And I've seen it happen people that are self-sourced will sometimes fall into immorality. They'll sometimes fall into, they'll fall away from God, or they'll fall into an immoral situation. In Ephesians 4, well, let me first read from Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. I'm going to read part of it. Paul encouraged the Ephesians to not let their hearts harden and fall into greediness and impurity. He said to let God renew their minds, to lay aside sin, and not let the sun go down in their anger, and to forgive quickly. That's the gist of Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So if you want to be angry for a really long time, make sure that you get angry at dawn, and then by the time the sun goes down, make sure you're not angry anymore. I'm just kidding. But by the time we go to bed at night, we need to let it go. We need to say, Jesus, help me forgive. Help me to not be angry. Help me to let it go. Because anger will just stir up strife. Okay, Ephesians 4:29. Let's read this together. Let no unwholesome, rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. No unwholesome, and the literal word for unwholesome is rotten. I do not want rotten fruit coming out of me. How about you guys? You know, I don't want people to, you know, not like the fruit that's there, right? So let no unwholesome word come out. An unwholesome word does not have to be a curse word. We might think, oh, well, that's like people that curse. It can even be a self-centered, ego-driven word. It could be gossip. It could be slander. It could be a hurtful word. Those things that come out of our mouths can taste rotten and bitter. You know, sometimes we say things in jest, like joking. And I love when we joke around. Believe me, I'm a joker. You know, I usually have to apologize to people. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that like that. You know, I just tease them. Especially to Matt, right? Matt, I always like somehow dig you. Love you. But, you know, you tease with each other. But sometimes if it's coming out sarcastically, there's a little bit of truth there. There's a little truth, you know, especially if you're kind of like twisting the knife a little bit. So be cautious. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. James chapter 3 uses the illustration that a fountain can't send out both fresh and bitter water. A fountain can't be both fresh and bitter. Let's read this together. Self tries to control others rather than love them. Love overflows with joy. Control overflows with strife. So the self tries to control rather than love, right? And love brings joy, but control will bring strife. It will bring tension and strife to any situation. So being sourced with ourselves leads to being separate from God and separate from others. It leaves us dry and empty. We have to let go of ourselves, delight in God's word, fill up with Jesus, and overflow with him. All right, now others. How many people pleasers out there? Okay, a lot of us. Mostly women, but some guys too. Okay, so many of us tend to worry about what other people think, what they say, and what they do. I do that sometimes, and it ends up stealing our joy. There is hope for us. Paul wrote to the Galatian church, he said, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." We can't serve God and man at the same time. When we serve God, we are serving others, but we cannot try to control how someone reacts to us. We can live to please and serve. I mean, I want to please my husband. I want to serve him. I want to love him. But his happiness is not based on what I do. My happiness is not based on what he does. It's a choice. It's based on my relationship with Jesus. When we both have a relationship with Christ and we're working together, that can be really powerful. Now, I know some of you, only one spouse has a relationship with Christ. But you stay close to Christ. God will draw your spouse to himself through you, just your respectful behavior, your love. And every time they say something that gets you upset, just pray. Just pray about it. Don't let any unwholesome word come out. So attempting to get our value and self-worth from others is really a losing battle. You know why? Because people's moods fluctuate day to day. I remember when I was in fourth grade, and I don't know why this stood out to me when I did the message, but when I was in fourth grade, there was this girl that was my friend, that one day she'd like me, and then the next day she didn't like me. Anybody have any of that in high school, elementary school? Okay, I don't know why I brought that up, but you know, it was funny because it was like, ooh, which friend am I getting today? Is she gonna like me today or not? You know, I don't want people thinking, ooh, what Pastor Jen are we gonna get today? Is she gonna be nice today, or is she gonna be in a really bad mood? Like, we don't want people thinking, is it okay to touch them today? Is it okay to talk to them today? You know, we don't want to be that moody person. If we base our self-worth on other people's moods or thoughts of us, our joy will fluctuate as often as their moods fluctuate. You follow that? When their moods are up, then your joy is up, and then their mood goes down, and then your joy goes down. Right? Don't base your joy on someone else's decision to not be happy. All right, that's a never-ending roller coaster. I think that many of us have trouble with this being sourced by others because we're inevitably surrounded by people. Some people are easy to please, some are never pleased. But God made us to spend time with people. He made us for fellowship, not only with Him, first and foremost, but with others. And that's why the Bible says to tolerate one another in love. Say that word, tolerate. Tolerate. That word tolerate's there for a reason, because tolerate makes it kind of sound like it's probably going to be pretty hard, right? Sometimes it's difficult to tolerate one another, but when you do it in love, you'll start learning about that other person, and you'll help them come to that same place of being sourced by Jesus. We cannot fall into the trap of jeopardizing our own integrity or joy for the sake of someone who's moody and manipulative. Because you will be surrounded by people that will try to manipulate and steal your joy. They'll purposely try to get you down. You know, and we call that, you know, drama. They like drama. They're not happy unless there's a quarrel or tension. When you're around that, just choose to not get sucked into it. Walk away, pray for them, but don't jeopardize your own joy and integrity for the sake of someone who's moody and manipulative. If you've been trying to please the same person for the last 10 years and have been unsuccessful, get over it. Let go of it. Pray and let God work in their hearts and your hearts. All right. So, okay. In the attempt to use others as our source for fulfillment, there are two traps that I believe come into play. Number one is there's an unhealthy means of pleasing others, and then an unhealthy need to be accepted by others. So sometimes we please, like I said before, by jeopardizing our own integrity. That's where I think a lot of affairs happen, because, you know, oh, that guy's going through a really hard time with his wife, so I'm going to talk to him and I'm going to console him, and then pretty soon you're in an affair because you jeopardized your integrity, okay? And that can happen. You know, there's all kinds of different ways that we could please others in an unhealthy way. But then there's an unhealthy need to be accepted by others. And that is really an addiction to approval. It's like, if I'm not approved of, then I can't be happy and I'm just going to crawl in bed and I'm going to throw the blanket over my head. We can't get into that unhealthy trap of letting other people source us, and when they don't, we fail. We fall. Okay. So if we think that... sometimes we think that if we just please somebody, you know, that maybe they'll be our friend permanently. And like I said, moods will go up and down. You know, sometimes as wives, I think we lean on our husbands too much for them to tell us how awesome we are, how much they love us. And that's good. Husbands, tell your wives how awesome she is and how much you love her. Tell her that a lot, because that will go a long way in your relationship. But wives, if your husband doesn't give you that, first tell him that you'd like him to say that. And then when he does, don't say, oh, well, you're just saying it because I told you to say it. Okay. I know you because I am one. So, you know, tell your husband what you need from him. When he gives it, thank him and hug him. And then pretty soon he'll remember to say it more often. But if he doesn't, or she doesn't, say the things that you want her to say, don't let that change or control your happiness. Go to Jesus, because what he says about you, he loves you, he needs you, he wants to hug you. All right. All right. How about the rejection that we feel sometimes when somebody doesn't like our Facebook post? Now, I know that there are social media junkies out there. I know it. But I think Facebook is an awesome resource. I was on it yesterday. I was on it today. You know, I check stuff and I look at things and I think it's awesome. It's a great resource. It cannot be our only source. You know, we don't want to post on there, I'm having an argument with my husband right now. You don't want to do that. You don't want to post on there, hey, you know, well, I'm not even going to go into it. All right, you know what not to post. Pray about it first. There have been several times where I've typed something, even a response, and I thought, that could be taken wrong. I take it off and I don't even comment. Because people take things wrong sometimes, and sometimes we put it out there with the wrong motive. So anyway, don't let Facebook or social media be your source. God knows our hearts. If we're posting a selfie just so that somebody says, oh, you're pretty, or posting, you know, our great accomplishments so that someone says, oh, you're awesome, you're great, what are our intentions? What are our motives for that? You know, make sure it's not just to be sourced by other people. You know, sometimes we feel hurt by our boss because they didn't notice something that we did that was, you know, went the extra mile. We might get hurt by somebody from church because they didn't show up when we had surgery, or they didn't show up when we had a baby, right, Shauna? you know, so sometimes we get hurt, but don't let that source you, all right? We love people. We have amazing friends and family surrounding us. Look around. Just look around for a second. This is an amazing group of people. You are sitting in an amazing group of people. You guys love each other, and it's just so awesome. But we can't let each other become our source, or that will leave us feeling empty. People will leave us feeling empty without Jesus. Jesus poured into us will overflow onto others, and then our relationships will become healthy. All right. Even when people fail us, we will be filled with joy. All right. The next source that we sometimes go to, material things, money. We've all found ourselves saying or thinking, if I only had a little bit more, if I just could win the lottery, I would give, right? I need more money. 1 Peter 6, 9 through 11 says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Right there is a gambling thing. You know, it doesn't say the word gambling, but, you know, if you're constantly, you know, spending all the food money on lottery tickets, start saving your food money and you will have food money and God will bless you. You know, don't fall into that ruin and destruction and debt. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. If you're familiar with the spiritual gifts, you'll see some of those things that are listed that Paul told Timothy to pursue. Let's read the list of the spiritual gifts. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is a list you should memorize. Those nine fruits of the Spirit. I'm sorry. Did I say spiritual gifts? Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are in Galatians 5. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Let's read it together. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is like, don't worry. Jesus said, don't worry. The Apostle Paul told us to be anxious for nothing, but to pray about everything. When money and material things become our source for life, we will find ourselves unhappy, lacking, unsatisfied, will always want more because money and material things cannot fulfill. No matter how much we have, we will always feel dry inside. So do you want to know the key to overcoming the love of money? Give it away. Give it away. Give till it hurts. Hoarding doesn't work. Giving works. Overflow. Do we need money? Yes. The Bible tells us to be a good steward of our money. When God gives us money, to tithe, to give the first 10% to Him, to give offering, to save, and then to live within our means. The Bible teaches us how to be good stewards. We need it. But when we get to that place where we're starting to feel a little greedy, like one time God was telling me to give somebody money, and I was like, wow, well, that's like pretty much what I need for the week, and you know, I have it in my purse, but, and I'm like, no, I'm giving that to them, and I'm putting $5 more in it. And it was like, I needed to tell myself, it is not about the money, because when we give it, God brings it back. You know, He overflows. You give and somehow it comes back. I don't know how. It's like God math. It's amazing. Okay. Let's read Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. It says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Anybody have tomato plants? You know how when you pick, we do too, you have some volunteers, we've got some extra tomato plants this year, but you pick a tomato, and pretty soon you've just got like a whole bunch of tomatoes. You know, you take that first fruit off, and it keeps growing and it keeps producing. And that's kind of what happens when we honor the Lord with our wealth. He keeps producing for us. Okay, the next thing, habits, addictions, diet and exercise. The Bible calls our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to take care of our bodies. Unhealthy addictions can put our temples at risk. Proverbs even says to not linger long over wine. It's actually kind of funny because it says don't look at the wine while it sparkles in the cup. And I'm just picturing somebody like, you know, cross-eyed looking at the wine. You know, don't look at the wine when it sparkles in the cup. And because, you know, you drink it, you go to sleep, you wake up, you want another drink. And it's just what it's basically saying is it just leads to nowhere. You know, to become addicted to things like that is not healthy. It gets us nowhere. Eating right, dieting, exercise, those are healthy habits to adopt. And I want to say dieting. I shouldn't say dieting. Eating right is healthy. Exercising is healthy. But when we're physically healthy, our minds will actually naturally become more healthy. Our thought life will be better. We'll feel better. But diet and exercise alone cannot fulfill. It's still going to leave us dry when we don't have Jesus. So when we're having a rough day, think about it. When you're having a rough day, where do you run to? Do you naturally go to Facebook, food, exercise, TV, alcohol, drugs, sex, overworking, seeking the approval of others? What's the thing? What's the source that we go to when we're having a bad day? Do we go to Jesus? If we run to a habit or addiction, instead of running to Jesus, we will still feel unsatisfied. It will not fulfill. Okay, and then the next one, religion. Religion is sourced by our doing. The source is our doing. Jesus corrected religious attitudes all the time, mostly because those religious attitudes, people with religious attitudes looked at others with hostility. They looked at others, they criticized, they judged. They were very critical, looking down at other people. Religion sets unrealistic expectations on us that we can never fulfill. If you've ever been involved in an organization that just gave you a whole list of requirements, things you had to do, had to do, had to do, and you couldn't fulfill them, that's very religious. All right. Sometimes we were made to feel guilty or unworthy of God even if we didn't fulfill them. Because religion is sourced by our own performance, it will leave us empty, dry, unfriendly, prickly, and unpleasant. Religion is trying to do to please God. It does not satisfy because it's based on our works rather than God's grace. Okay? It's not about our works. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace, let's say it together, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. When we get to heaven, God is not going to say, list all your accomplishments for me. Boast for me. I don't know what we're going to do, but I think we're just going to fall on our faces in complete humbleness and surrender. It's by grace we've been saved. God's grace. It's undeserved, but it's a free gift. God loves us so much. It's not for us to boast. It's all about Him. I love this quote from John Eldridge from Beautiful Outlaw. It says, Millions of people have spent years attending church, and yet they don't know God. That is sad. Millions of people have spent years in church, and they don't know God. I remember the first time I came to this church, I was six, and when I went home, my dad said to me, "What'd you learn in Sunday school today, Jen?" And I told him what I learned in Sunday school, and he looked at my mom and said, "Jen just learned in Sunday school today more than I learned all my life going to church." You know, and that's pretty powerful. So, it's good. Your kids are in Sunday school, they're learning. All right, we have something fun right now. We're going to hand out some Oreos. So, ushers, when you get the little cup of Oreos, take one, please, only one. If we have any extra at the end of the service, because this is the only service for the day, you guys can help polish off the rest of them. Okay, so everybody take one Oreo and eat it. All right, now, you're going to be getting Oreos, and I know this is almost like when you're in elementary school and the teacher starts passing around papers. Everybody keep your attention up here. All right, we're going to keep going with our message while everyone gets his or her Oreo. Remember to eat it once you get it. All right. All of these seemingly fulfilling sources, religion, habits, money, others, and ourselves, will leave us feeling dry. They'll leave us feeling what? Dry. I can feel when I am spiritually dry. When I get sad and I feel spiritually dry, I can immediately look at what I've been thinking about and what I've been spending time doing. I should say, not doing. I can tell when I have not spent enough time with my Jesus. I can tell when I have not spent enough time talking to him. He is the number one source, and I know I cannot pour from what is empty. Jeremiah 2:13, I love this scripture. I won't make you read because I know you're chewing. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, I love this. It says, my people have committed two evils. It only looks like one, but it's two. The first thing that they did was they forsook him. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. The capital M is Jesus. They forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And the second thing they did was hew for themselves, create for themselves broken vessels or cisterns that could hold no water. He wasn't talking literal water. He's talking about idols. He's talking about they started worshiping things that were not him, and that can hold no water. Okay, so idols, other things, habits, religion, others, self, money cannot fulfill. They hold no water. Living to satisfy ourselves and others, or serving money, religion, and habits can hold no water. The source that we need is Jesus, a relationship with Jesus based on what he has done. And we get to just be. Rather than doing, we're being. Okay. And this is based on his grace, his mercy, and undying, unconditional love for us. In John chapter 4, it says, "There came a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' The Samaritan woman said, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' She replied, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?' Jesus answered, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.'" So Jesus used an illustration to teach this woman a very important fact, that he was the living water that she needed, that would never leave her empty or dry. And it says after they had more conversation, the woman dropped her water pot and she ran to tell her family all about Jesus, because she was so excited she had met the Messiah. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." If there's a scripture you remember, apart from me, you can do nothing. That scripture could be actually used in like every message. Because apart from Jesus, we can do nothing of value. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. And some versions say overflow, that your joy may overflow. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. So Jesus is the only thing in this world that can satisfy the human hunger and thirst to be loved, accepted, filled with purpose. But we have to choose him. Paul told the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, he says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Y'all enjoy your Oreo? Just as your mouth is craving a nice glass of milk or a cup of cold ice water, so is everyone around you who does not have Jesus. They are dry inside, their mouths are dry, their hearts are dry, they're empty. They want what you have when you overflow with Jesus. When we fill up with Jesus every day, his grace will naturally overflow from us. Others will desire and crave what we have. They'll want to overflow too. They'll wonder, how can I get that? How can I get that joy? How can I get that fulfillment? How can I get that peace in the midst of a circumstance? Having that close relationship with God doesn't mean that all of our circumstances change or that bad things won't happen. Sometimes storms come and attack those trees. You know, I think if a really, really good windstorm would come, if we had a weak cactus, it would fall, right? Really good windstorm comes, maybe a few leaves fly off of the willow tree. But that willow tree is so grounded and so pulling nourishment that it stands strong. You know, when difficult times come, don't stop drawing nourishment from Jesus. Don't stop spending time with him. Don't stop talking to him. There is a hesitation sometimes that we feel when we're going through a hard time. We kind of get hard in our hearts and we just kind of stop talking to him. Cliff and I actually had something happen a few months ago. You guys know Cliff works full time. He's a probation officer and he also works for the church. He preaches Saturday nights. I work full time for the church. We have a baby now. I'm involved in music ministry. Cliff's not in music ministry anymore, so he doesn't come to ministry with me. He's in softball. Usually Bella goes to bed. I don't have a time, you know, don't get to go to all his games. We're just kind of both running in opposite directions. How many of you experience that in your marriage? I know, it's very hard. You're all running, you know, different directions. Well, we have to purposely plan time to spend together. We actually have to put it in the calendar, date day. You know, Cliff will take a day off so that we can spend the day together. And a few months ago, we had this day planned that we were going to spend together. And we prayed in the morning together. We had a great time. And then one of us said something. It was me. and I brought tension to the conversation because I was questioning him. And he got hurt by it. And usually he doesn't respond that way. And I don't usually, say those things. So suddenly we had this tension. Well, this doesn't really happen with us. And I'm serious about that. But it almost erupted at the Christmas tree shops. We were together at the store, and I'm like, we are going to be on camera, two pastors fighting at the Christmas tree shop. I just knew it. Like, so we just kind of looked at each other and like, all right, we need to stop talking right now. So we kind of walked away from each other, came back, and we knew what was happening. Satan was trying to steal our joy. He was trying to steal our fun day together. We knew what was happening, but we couldn't stop it. So we came back together. We talked it out, worked out fine. But what it really came down to was because we hadn't spent time together, it felt a little awkward and like tense. Like every time we talk, I feel like every time, you know, Cliff and I would have this conversation, it was like, we're talking about money. Okay, well, this is what's going on financially. This is what's going on with Bella. This is the childcare stuff. This is what we need done around the house. This is what's going on at work. This is what's going on at church. This is where we need to be that night. That is not intimate time with your husband or your wife. That is not building relationship time. Yeah, you can talk about those things, and if you don't get in a fight over money, that's awesome. But those things can help the relationship. But Cliff and I will take each other's hands sometime or give each other a hug and just say, how's your heart? How are you? How is your heart? I don't care about anything else. What's going on with you? That is so important. Jesus wants to know, how's your heart? And you want to know, Jesus, how is your heart? Where is your heart in this matter? How can I get your heart in this matter? God is not like humans. When we go to God and we haven't spent time with him, there's no cold shoulder. God doesn't say, oh, well, now you want to talk to me because something's going on, and walk away. God does not do that. He is standing next to us, waiting for us to turn to him. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. God waits for us. He's very polite. He doesn't get in our way if we don't want him to get in our way. But I say, God, get in my way. I want you in my life. Turn to him. He's not cold. He will receive you like nothing ever happened, like you're going to be best friends when you go back to him. He's not a human. The Bible even says that we can come. Oh, there's, by the way, there's the Oreo that got melt. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go boldly before the throne of grace. Maintaining our relationship with Jesus is critical. When we spend time with him, we will produce fruit. Our leaf will never wither. It will never grow dry. When we're going through hard times and we look at our attitudes, we will recognize either Jesus is my source or he's not. We'll be able to see it. Even ask a friend. You know, I struggled at times with the whole thing with Bella. You guys know we're adopting a baby. Still is not official legally. And I struggle. Some days I get fearful. Something happens and it's like, what if we have to give her back? And I cannot let my mind go there. When I get fearful, I have to pray. And as soon as I talk to God about it, I feel fine. I get that peace again. So don't let worry and anxiety fill your heart. Go right to Jesus. Go to the source. All right. Let's read this together. We can live a mundane, dry, ordinary life, or we can live an extraordinary life, soaking up energy from Jesus and passing the blessing on to others. Let's read this. Jesus is not a feeling. He is not a shifting shadow. He is not a variable. He is a constant. He is our constant, trusted source. On your outlines, if you have them, or just think about it, I have a note there. It says, my source has been, and then a blank. As we receive communion this morning, which we're going to, I want you to pray about and think about what has been sourcing your energy. What has been causing you to feel dry? Is there any area of your life that you have not completely surrendered to Jesus and let him take care of? And then as we go on in our time of worship, write Jesus. When you make that decision to put Jesus first, if you do that today, write Jesus over top of that source. So if your source has been money, you know, write money. And as we worship and as we praise the Lord together and receive communion, say, Lord, I need to give you my desire for material things. I want you to be my source. If it's a person, write that name down and then write Jesus over top when you want to. All right. Hebrews 5:8 through 9 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, this is Jesus, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life. Jesus is our source for not only life abundant on this earth, but eternal life with him. We're not going to be burned up. We're not going to be dry. We're going to be filled with him when he is our source. Now, let's read our final scripture again. This was our first scripture. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And we're talking about pointing fingers, all those different things, you know, trying to get other people to line up with us, trying to control. How blessed is he who is not sourced by things of this world that cannot satisfy. And then, but his delight, this is obviously my own emphasis added, his source is in the law, the word, the truth, the Bible of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Let's read this together. I kind of changed it into like an encouraging word. Let's read it together. How blessed am I when I do not do things my way or attempt to find fulfillment in things that just leave me empty. I will be blessed when my delight is in the Lord and in his ways. I will be like a healthy tree firmly planted by streams of water that produces much fruit. When I invite Jesus into every part of my life, I will never grow dry or weary, and everything I do with God will prosper. Amen. Amen. You know, I think that we need to be sourced by him. We need to pray that prayer every day, and we need to recognize that when we sign up to spend time with Jesus, when we sign up to let him be our source, everything we do will prosper. Everything we do will prosper. It won't always go our way, but God will make it work for good because you love him and you delight in him first. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus is our number one source. And Jesus even knew that people would betray him. Jesus didn't let his source be others. He let his source be God. In fact, when Jesus was healing people and preaching, a lot of times it says he went to the mountain and he prayed. He got alone by himself with God to get refueled so he would get filled up so he could keep being Jesus to people. And God wants us to keep being Jesus to people, to love them. Jesus sat at a table with his disciples knowing full well that one of them was going to betray him that night, knowing full well that one of them was going to deny him three times, knowing full well that only a couple of them would even be there when he was crucified. But he loved them anyway. He died on the cross for them anyway. Jesus took the bread the night of the Last Supper. He broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." He took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins of the many. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I return." This time that we do, this is not a ritual. This is something that we do because this reminds us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was broken and bruised for our iniquities and our sins and our everything, our guilt, everything was taken on that cross in that brokenness. And his blood was shed for us, for the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of us, so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We serve a God, our Jesus went through every temptation that we've been through, yet he did not sin. He was the perfect spotless Lamb of God slain for us, for you. So as you receive communion, the ushers will dismiss you. As you receive communion, ask Jesus, go before him. Say, "Lord, what have I made my source instead of you? Have I gone to an addiction or a habit? Have I gone to money? Have I gone to others? Am I just trying to do it all my way? You know, what is it? Am I just trying to do religious things, trying to get to you by doing? Or am I just being your daughter? Am I being your son?" And then write Jesus on your paper if you want to. Let him minister to your heart. We're going to sing a couple songs together. So just let this time be between you and God. Thank you.